you have any burden, how many pieces? Do you have any burden?
Yeah.
Probably any, right? Something's wrong. Okay. As a Christian, we don't encounter difficulties, especially when we work for God, and work as a burden. But then, it's all right to feel a burden. If you can feel no burden whatsoever, then maybe you are feeling not being responsible to God's work. So Amos, the word Amos means burden. So it's a question. Now is the burden time. So let's turn to Amos chapter 3. Let's turn to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 15 is the first message here in this word. Amos chapter 3. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought you, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, verse 2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Okay. This is the first message that God speaks to the Israel. And why God is against Israel? Okay. Verse 2 tells us, you only have I known of all the families of earth. What does it mean? Did not God know all the people of this world? And the word know, it means that God has chosen Israel to be what? His bride. Okay? Know, this know is being used as a very, like husband know a wife, or wife know a husband. Okay? Let's turn to, put a bookmark here, let's turn to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. This word, know, recorded, it's the same word recorded in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a net from the Lord. So Adam knew Eve. This means a very intimate, okay, knowing. Okay? And so when the Lord said, you only have I known of all the kind of earth, it's saying that I know you. God chose us, right, to be the bride. And but then the thing is, this bride is pointing God very much. Okay? And despite all the facts that, all the grace that God gave to the chosen people of God, the chosen people of God did not respond according to the calling of God. And so therefore God said, I will punish you, everything, all your iniquity, everything that you did, I will give account. You have to give account. And so what does it mean to us? Okay. It means that, just like in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, say, let's turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says, but he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. But for everyone to whom much is given, on him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. Okay? So it's very clear it's telling us, today we have received salvation, God's power. We receive more than others. But if we live our life just like the Gentiles, no difference. The way we think things, the things that we value, are just like Gentiles. There's no difference. And that only causes a bigger trouble because God demands us a lot more than God required from the Gentiles. Okay? And so, what shall we do? Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affair that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Here, it tells us our conduct needs to be worthy of the gospel. That's how we repay God. If not, then we'll be rejected. Let's also look at Colossians chapter 1, the book after Philippians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. This is what we need to do once we receive the calling of the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And this is what God wants us to do. Okay? We need to please Him. How can we walk worthy of the Lord? First is to please Him, fully please Him. Second, bear fruits. Third, increasing our knowledge of God. Okay? So that means we need to continue to read the Bible, okay, and any holy work, any work, good work we should do. Okay? So let's come back to Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Let's turn back to Amos chapter 3, verse 3 to 8. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 to 8. This section is cause and effect. Okay? Let's look at verse 3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Verse 4. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? Verse 5. Will a bird fall into a snare on earth where there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if he has caught nothing at all? Verse 6. If a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in the city, would not the Lord have done it? Verse 7. Surely the Lord has done nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Verse 8. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Okay. Here, the Lord asks a series of questions to make people think. When two people walk together for a distance, do you think that happened by accident? Of course, these two people need to agree so that these two doesn't walk two separate directions. Okay? And then the Lord continued to ask them a question. Will a lion go in the forest if he has no prey? Okay? The lion roar when he has a prey, especially when he caught the prey. He will roar to scare off all the animals so that the other animal doesn't come to fight or to rescue the animal. Okay, to rescue their companions. Okay? And let's look at the next sentence. When a young lion cried out of his den, he has caught nothing. The lion will roar in his den when he caught something to tell other people, to tell other lions to come to eat for that God. Okay? So lions sometimes travel in pack, and if they get something, they will tell other lions to also share with what they have. Verse 5. Will a bird fall into a snare on earth where there is no trap for it? We know that the trap closes when something touches the trigger, right? So the bird touched the trigger, so the net fall over them. Okay? So there's a cost for everything. If the birds have been caught, meaning there's a trap. Okay? Will a snare spring up from the earth if he has cut nothing at all? That's impossible. There's a cost for it. Verse 6. If a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people be afraid? It's saying that in the time of in those times, when people blow trumpet, usually saying that enemies are coming to warn the people to get rid of them. And so when people hear a trumpet, they knew the enemy is coming, they'll be afraid. Okay? If there is calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Yes, the Lord has done it. The Lord caused it. Okay? So verse 7. Surely the Lord does nothing unless he revealed his secrets to his servant, the prophets. Basically, the Lord is saying, the Lord has spoken to his prophets, and the prophet speaks to the people. So the prophet is not simply out of their own will. But there's a cost God has spoken to the prophet, so the prophet must speak. But why God must speak? Because people have sinned. There is a problem. So God speaks to the prophet. And indeed, and then in turn, the prophet speaks to the people. Okay. So there's a cause for everything. Okay. Let's continue looking at verse 9 to 10. Chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. Proclaim in the palace of Ashdod, and in the palace in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble the mountains of Samaria, see great tumults in her midst, and the press within her. Verse 10. For they do not know to do right, says the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Here is God is telling the prophets to invite Ashdod, Philistines, and Egyptians to come to look at the sins of Israel. Usually, if we had done something shameful, we should have told other people about it, right? But in this case, right, God invited people to come and look at it. See, they really don't know what they have done wrong. I mean, they don't know what they are doing so bad, and they do not even know. So it's basically bringing other people to shame on them, to make them realize they have been doing wrong. Okay? And verse 10, it says, for they do not know to do right, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. What does it mean, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces? It means that the leaders, the kings, were living in the palaces, and they conspire and plot against innocent people. Okay? And so the so-called store up violence, they plot it against people. And robbery in the palaces means whatever they gain, wealth, they put into their house, put into their palace. Okay? Okay. Let's also look at Amos chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. And this passage basically is saying that only a few will be spared and go to captivity. Verse 11, therefore this says the Lord, an adversary shall be all around the land. He shall sap your strength from you, and your palace shall be plundered. Verse 12, this says the Lord, as a shepherd takes from the mouth of a lion 2 legs or a piece of a ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out who dwell in Samaria, in the corner of the bed, and on the edge of the couch. The Lord prophesies the enemy shall surround the Samaria, surround the Israel. And then they go suck their strength, take their wealth, and plunder their houses, anything valuable. Okay? And in verse 12, basically saying that those people, only few will be spared, just a lion, go rescue the sheep. But then the sheep is already being eaten up. Only have maybe a few a year left, or leg left, okay, 2 legs left. It's very small, comparing the whole body of the sheep. And so, the Lord can compare. So, shall the children of Israel be taken out to go in Samaria? Be taken out for Samaria, meaning they go into captivity. Maybe few. And just like what? Compared to the corner of the bed and on the edge of the couch. It's a very small amount of people will be spared and go to captivity. And most of all of them will be killed. The rest of them will be killed. Okay, let's look at chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Now this is God's promise to destroy the altar and the great houses. Verse 13. Hear and testify against the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts. Verse 14. That in the day I punish Israel for their transgression, I will also visit destruction on the altar of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. Verse 15. And I will destroy the winter house along with the summer house. The house of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end. So here we can see that the Lord prophesies that God will destroy the horns of altar that refer to the Bethel. Bethel is where they had the golden cow worshiping the idol. Okay. And also the houses, the rich men's houses, some of them have many houses. summer for summer use, summer for winter use. If some place is too cold, okay, where do they go? They go to the winter house because that place is warmer, okay, and vice versa. And God promised to destroy them. Okay? You might wonder how come it goes so fast. We need to cover these three messages today. So chapter 3, verse 1 to chapter 5, verse 17. Okay? And this is, we had a total of 6 classes. So today I need to at least finish all these three messages with you. Let's look at the second message from chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. But if I'm going too fast and certain things not explained, please let me know. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountains of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husband, bring wine, let us drink. Verse 2. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness, behold, the days shall come upon you when he will take you away with the bishop and your posterity with bishops. You will go out through the broken walls, each one straight ahead of her, and you will be cast into torment, says the Lord. Okay? This message is not for Israel. This message is for what? The women in Israel. Okay? And the Lord called them cows of Bashan. Bashan is very known for its fertile ground, and they have many flocks there. And the cows in Bashan are growing very fat and very strong. And so the Lord called these women cows of Bashan. Okay? And they live on the mountain of Samaria, or in the city of Samaria. Now how come God called them? So, because they oppress the poor, who crush the needy, okay? And they seem to have lived a good life. They tell husband, let us drink. And how come they're able to live such a good life? Because what? They crush the needy. Okay? They crush the needy. So basically, they are working. These women are working with the husband, okay, in some way, okay, to crush a need. And God prophesies to them that these people, right, will be oppressed, and their city will fail. How do we know the city will be fallen? Verse 3. He said, you will go out with broken walls. It means the city has fallen. The enemy has make a gap in the wall so the enemy can't do. And these people will go out from the city through the broken walls. And then the Bible continues to describe that the enemy will have fish hooks to hook on the what? The mouth or their nose or something. Okay? And drag them like what? Cows or horses. Right? Imagine there's a fish hook in our mouth, right? Or our nose. And people pull it. What are you going to do? Ouch, right? Just go, right? Just like, count. And why? How come God gave them such punishment? Why? Because they oppressed the poor. And God oppressed them. God used other people to oppress them. And to let them know how does it feel to be oppressed. Okay. So God sometimes used things in our life to teach us a lesson, right? Sometimes we cheat others, and sometimes we've been cheated. And when we suffer, when you think about, have we done these things? And maybe God is trying to tell us, and also punish us, not to do that again. Okay. And so, how do they oppress the poor? There's many ways. Today we can oppress the poor. Okay. For example, we can pay them not reasonable. Sometimes, at that time, people can oppress them and not paying their wages, right? And in our life today, there are some employers, okay, they declare bankruptcy, but then they still have houses. But then their employees, right, have no wages. They're not willing, they only protect themselves. They only concern themselves. They don't sell their houses to what? to pay the employees. They don't care. They just take care of themselves. Okay? And some of them just basically pay lower than what's fair. Okay? And so, or take things for them. And so God will punish them. Okay? And in the church today, sometimes some people make a joke like counselor people, counselor fashion. Right? It's because some holy workers, the husband has certain status in the church. And their wife, right, sometimes use the authority or titles or status of her husband to be very bully or to be unreasonable or whatever. And so people feel like, boy, this person is like counselor fashion. Know, oppressing me, okay, using the husband's authority. So this is the teaching we can get. And we need to be careful so we don't end up like these people. And God, you know, will punish us if we do. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 4 to 5. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifice every morning, your tithe every 3 days, verse 5. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Proclaim and announce the free offering for this you love, you children of Israel, says the Lord God. In fact, God continues to speak to these women, the children of Israel. We can see these women are what? Are very religious. Don't think that, well, these people are so bad, so they don't even worship God. Not true. These people worship God. In fact, they may be very fervent in offering. They're just like Pharisees. They offer tithe. Quite often. Okay. But how did God treat the offering? And what is the motive of the offering? Okay. They like to proclaim and announce their free will offering. For this you love. So the reason they offer is because to make known to people how religious they are, how fervent they are. So it's not like it's placed this way to show off. And this is actually, I want to share with you a true story. It's from Sister Kim. She used to be from this Presbyterian church or from other church. And in that church, they have a habit, is that whatever people offer, right, the church will announce how much money they offer. And according to the list, according to the order, whoever offered the most will go first. Okay? And so what happened is Sister Tian used to be in that church, and then she believed, and she received Holy Spirit, and she believed. And one time, her mother-in-law gave her $1,000 Taiwanese. And what she did is, she got the money, and then she offered to the church. Okay? And in the service, in the Presbyterian church service, people are, you know, some people was reading out how much people offer the water. And then the mother-in-law, I mean, the whole family wondered, how come they didn't read out my name? How much I offer it? They can't understand. And the mother said, oh, they must have forgot. Okay. But then, later on, they just go check. They say, really, we didn't receive the $1,000. And then so they went to ask the Sister Tian. So what happened? So Sister Chen said, well, we need to put the money where the true church is, okay? And the family was so upset. So from that time on, they, you know, become very nasty towards him. So that was some story. So today, there are some people we may not do that, we offer and let people know how much we offer. But then in church, when we do certain things, we want to let people know. Right? The same thing too. Right? And when we want to let people know, you're really serving God. Basically, it's people just using religious means, right, to what? To gain benefit for themselves. Right? And so, God is not really like their offering. In fact, what God wants them is to change. Not to oppress the poor, Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Verse 1. This is the Lord. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? Verse 2. For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look on him who is poor, of a contrite spirit, and who tremble at my word. Verse 3. He who kills a bull is as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering as if he offered swine's blood. He who burns incense as if he blessed an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delight in their abominations. Verse 4. So will I choose their delusion and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. Verse 1 and verse 2, Bible tells us God creates everything. So what God really wants? God wants is the one who is poor in spirit, who is humble. Second, contrite in spirit. Okay, sorrowful because of their sin. Okay. The third is tremble at God's word, fearing God. That's what God cares. Verse 3, God said, some people offer bull, lamb, incense, whatever, right? How come God considered these things as dog's neck, you know, killing a man, offer pig's blood? How come? If you read the end of verse 3, okay, it's because just as they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delight in their abominations. They don't listen to God. But they're very further for God. They don't listen. They keep doing evil. They probably don't even know about it. And that's why we have right here, an outdated cultivation, to examine ourselves. So we can see here that the person who offered the sacrifice is more important than the sacrifice itself. If we are not good, and we do evil, and we offer sacrifice to God, God does not like it. Okay. Especially when we offer to God, this offering of what? We rob from other people. We cheat other people. And we say, God, look, I bring this much money for you. God does not delight in that. Okay. So God detests that kind of person. So let's beware. Okay. So these women or people are key oppressive and then offer to God. Okay. So God does not like them. Let's look on God's discipline in chapter 4. Verse 6 to 13. This is God's discipline. Also I give you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and lack of bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Verse 7. I also withheld rain from you when there were 3 months to the harvest. I made a rain on one city and withheld rain for another city. One part was rained upon, and when it did not rain, the part withered. Verse 8. So two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet, you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Verse 9. I blasted you with blight and mildew. When your garden increased, your vineyard, your fig tree, and your olive tree, the locusts devoured them. Yet, you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Verse 10. I sent among you a plague after the manner of Egypt. Your young men I killed with the sword, along with your captive horses. I made a stench of your camp come up into your nostril, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Verse 11. I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand plucked from the burning, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Verse 12. Therefore, this is what I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to me your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms mountain and creates a wind, who declares to men what he desires and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high place of the earth. The Lord God of hosts is his name. In this passage, God gives them a total of five disciplines, five punishments. They're very sad. They didn't wake up. Okay? First is famine. Second, drought. Third, blight and mildew and locusts. Fourth, wars. Fifth, cities that burn up. Okay? So these five things can represent things that God used to discipline, tell us to wake up. Okay? For example, famine. Famine means poverty. There's not enough food around. Okay? And this is to teach us if in our daily life we have lacking, maybe spiritual or physical. This is to show us that God is what? Telling us we have inner strength. Okay? And this is the first level. Second level, they didn't still think it, so God used drought. Drought represent no blessing of God. Rain represent blessing. This drought means there's no blessing. Okay? So that if you, in our life, feel like, God, how come I don't experience your blessing? We might have went astray already. Okay? Third, if it didn't get to us, then what? Disasters will come. Blight, mildews, and locusts, new pests, disasters, accidents, sicknesses. God let these things happen to us to tell us we have won a strength. Okay? If we still don't get it, maybe just like the next one, God gives it to us, war. Okay? The war can represent serious arguments, okay? Or family member died. Of course, people die. Not all people die because what? God punishes them, okay? There's a time for everything. Or lawsuits. So war can represent people's serious arguments, okay, and fighting. The last one, city got burned up. Family broken up. Our families are the city. Sometimes people keep arguing, keep disobeying God, and then we see a broken family. So these are the five things that God used to tell people, don't be stubborn. Come and examine ourselves and repent. Don't insist in our own way. And how come these people don't get it? At first, maybe these people start to think, oh, it's just only an accident. Okay. Or they kind of harden their heart. They don't want to turn back to God. Okay. Or they are simply deceived. Because at that time, the whole nations are worshiping golden calf. That's what people do. Everybody says it's right. But they don't realize that's wrong. And they keep doing it just like everybody else. And they don't understand why God keeps punishing them. Okay. And then, verse 12, it says, therefore, this what I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to me, O God. That doesn't sound good. Lastly, God tried all the methods to wake them up, but they refused to turn back. So basically, God said, his final judgment is, I will do this to you, me, O God. This doesn't mean good. Just like sometimes our mom keep telling us and warn us, and we don't listen, right? And mom said, wait until your dad gets home. Just like that, okay? When dad gets home, what? Stick up. Okay, that's the end of the story, okay? So basically, it means that God is going to pass through them and destroy them, okay? Okay, let's go on to third message, Amos chapter 5, verse 1 to 17. This is a lamentation. This is a third message that God wants Israel to hear. Okay? And the message is that the virgin of Israel, has fallen. The Bible used virgin to describe, or daughter, to describe a country. So this country is Israel, okay? It has fallen. and she will rise no more. And this is a very serious lamentation. It's also a prophecy saying that they'll be destroyed and there's no recovery. Okay. If you look at prophets before Judah, God will still have mercy upon them or bring them back. But in this context, God says that Israel will be destroyed and no more. So you don't hear the 10 tribes, right, coming back to Israel, to Judah again. They're lost. Okay. So this is a very serious lamentation. In verse 3, it says, the city that goes out by 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which goes out by 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. It is mentioned that when they go to war, right, they'll be defeated. And then only 1/10 will be spared. But then the 1/10 that's spared flee from the battle. They are so few and so weak and so discouraged. They cannot fight anymore. So it mentioned that the whole military is collapsed. Let's look at Amos chapter 5, verse 4 to 7. Amos chapter 5, verse 4 to 7. So God is still merciful. Even though God proclaimed doom to them, because they will be truly be destroyed, but God still wants to save them. Okay? And so verse 4 to 7, God advised them, seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel, nor enter Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph, who devoured with no one to quench it in Bethel. Verse 7, you who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to rest in the earth. God told them, don't go to Bethel. What does Bethel represent? Bethel, the word Bethel is house of God. But then, over there, they worship golden cow. So golden cow basically represent people are worshiping God, but not according to God's way. God said, come and seek me. Seek God. Don't see the golden cow. So God is saying, that golden cow is not me. Seek me. Seek the Lord. Right? And you will live. And Gilgal and Beersheba are well known for their high places. High places is the place where they worship idols, commit sexual immoralities. Okay? The Bible said the Gilgal shall go into captivity, means they'll be destroyed. The people will go to captivity, be a slave. And Bethel shall come to nothing, be totally destroyed. Okay? Seek the Lord and live. If we don't do so, then what will happen is, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour, with no one to quench it in Bethel. Today, we as people worship God in their own way. We don't worship God according to God's way. Okay? And we need to find out what's wrong with it. We need to see ourselves. And if we do not see God and live, then there'll be a fire, a quenchable fire. What it means is God's fire will be burning. The fire is like God's wrath. And nobody can quench it means no one can intercede for you to quench God's fire, to quench God's anger. Sometimes people interceding, that person still can be sick and die. Okay. So be careful. We need to, God's quite merciful actually. God's been patient with him and God gave him the many chances. But in the end, God just had enough and said, you know, if you push me to the point that I have great anger, we shall not be quenched by any intercession. And that's it. Right. Let's look at this verse 7. You who turn justice to wormwood. Wormwood is a type of herb. And it's bitter. It's very bitter. Okay? So in other words, you turn justice into bitterness. Justice is supposed to be sweet. We should be fair. We should be good to a person. But then they had turned the justice into bitterness. In other words, they don't have justice. The way they define justice is very bitter, very unfair to people. Okay? For example, like in 1 Samuel 20, Jezebel used the law of God, the justice of God, right? What? Plot against Naboth. He sent two wicked men before Naboth. And false testified, I heard Naboth blasphemy against God. According to the law, that is the justice. If anybody blasphemy against God, that person would be stoned. But Naboth didn't do that. But then they framed him and killed him. So they had turned justice into bitterness. And there's no righteousness on the earth. Let's look on Amos chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. In this passage, God described his characteristic. He made the Pleiades and Orion. He turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day dark as night. He calls the water of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. He reigns upon the strong so that fury comes upon the fortress. God's proclaiming what he can do to people, and God opposes the proud. Okay. In Amos chapter 5, verse 10 to 13, it is describing the Israelites' characteristic. Okay. What are their characteristic? Okay. Verse 10, they hate the one who rebukes in the gate. They abhor the one who speaks uprightly. These people are like Ahab. He likes to hear the good things. He doesn't like to hear what is coming from God, what is right. He always thinks that prophet Micaiah is always what is troublemaker, also opposing him. But he doesn't see himself that he always stands against God. So he feels like, how come this prophet is always against me? He doesn't examine himself. And he likes to listen to the 400 prophets telling him good things. He doesn't like to listen to the prophet Micaiah saying that he will die. So these people are just like Ahab. In verse 11, another characteristic is, because you tread down the poor and take grain taxes from him, though you have built houses of hewn stone, yet you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, and you shall not drink wine from them. Another characteristic that they did is they make laws that oppress the poor. And they don't really consider the poor. So that these people are having a very difficult, very, very difficult time. And so they make these laws or certain things and gain this wealth. Okay? And so God very upset with that. And God basically saying, you know, the money that you earn and you spend on your houses, on, you know, on your property, on your vineyard, okay, the things that you buy will be in vain. And this is the lesson we need to get. Today, there are many people cheated people, covet people's stuff. They think that, yeah, I got it now. Yeah. But you know what? When they get these things, they lose even more. If you observe carefully in our life, you will see these people, they work in vain. What do I mean by that? I see that sometimes, yeah, they cheat the people, they buy big houses, or certain things. But then, after a while, certain disaster happened. They lost it. Okay? Sometimes they work for their children. Some parents will work for their children, but they cheated people. And what happened? They raised the children in vain. What do you mean in vain? The children did not know God, did not have salvation. Okay? And so let us not do things in vain. So let's look at the last passage. Chapter 5, verse 16 to 17. Therefore the Lord God of hosts said this, they shall be wailing in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, Alas, Alas. They shall cut called the farmer to mourning, and skillful lamenter to wailing. Verse 17. In all the vineyard they shall be wailing, for I will pass through you, says the Lord. Okay. The habit, the custom of Israel, it's a bit like the custom in Taiwan in some aspects. In Taiwan, right, they have the habit, the custom of calling lamenters, people who know how to cry, to lament for them. In some family, if let's say a well-to-do family, sometimes well-to-do family don't have a good relationship. Okay? And the children cannot cry. And so when they do not cry, people say, hey, this, how come they don't have feeling for their what, parents or for somebody, you know, their relatives, right? And so to make things good, right, they hire lamenters. Okay? And Taiwanese hired lamenters, they wrote, have you seen that? When I was young, I heard it in Taiwan. They have this lamenter, sometimes woman, they have the speakers in front of their mouth, okay? And they'll cry, okay? They cry and say, oh, I'm so pitiful, oh, I've been forsaken, things like that. It sounds like, anyways, so fake, you know, why so fake? You cry and you have speaker and you broadcast it for people, okay? And Israelites, what Israelites do is, maybe they have too many debt, okay? They themselves cannot cry anymore. They feel numb. So they hire the professional crier to cry for them. Okay? And let me finish. I know time is up. That's why I should do it. There's a couple of passages I need to go through with you real quickly. What's Passover? Passover means what? God passed them so that they don't get destroyed. So God killed the firstborn of Egyptian. God passed over these Israelites. Okay? But however, this sentence, God said, I will pass through you, is referring to what? This thing I will do to you. God will pass through us. Just like what God passed through the Egyptians, okay? Killing them. And since, it says in verse 17, in all the vineyards they shall be willing, for I will pass through you. Okay? And we have to understand what a vineyard means. Some people say, oh, these people are crying in the vineyards. I don't think so. You can say that if you want to. These people are crying in the vineyards, right? To me, the vineyards represent God's promised land. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7, vineyards represent God's kingdom. In other words, saying these people, what? Will be dying, you know, in God's kingdom. When they are killed, they cry, right? They scream for help, but nobody helped them. They got killed, they died. Okay, so in all the vineyards, it's not like they mourn in the vineyards. Okay? They cry as they've been slaughtered. Okay, been killed. So the vineyards has two kinds of meaning. Okay? So we have studied three messages that God was going to give to these Israelites. And these are three different messages. And we need to take warnings. These messages are not good. Okay, these are the burden on the priests and on the prophets. Prophets feel burdened by these messages because these are not good. And you have to be courageous to preach to them. And these messages are burdened to the people because they heard it, they feel not good. Okay. And so sometimes these people don't like the prophets. But it's not really the prophet's fault. Because the people have been wrong, so God has spoken to the prophet and told them. So now let us kneel down.